All right, good. Then let's talk about threats. Coming, we basically go back to the same lineup. I'd like to talk to the economist among us. Now, generally speaking, everyone tells us that trade blocs are a good thing, or countries coming together for tariff unions and things like that. But you touched upon some of the threats as well. Can you expand on what history has shown as threats to local businesses in individual countries when countries come together for a trade bloc?
Hello. Okay. Sorry, I was just testing whether it works. Well, I think that's quite a tricky question because, firstly, ASEAN is a very different animal, so we can't really talk from history. If you were talking from history within ASEAN itself, competition has always made things better. So the threats, the AEC was never intended to be something that was going to form a threat because it was always something that was going to enhance connectivity, enhance cooperation, enhance collaboration. At the very crux of it, it cannot be a threat. What can in the end become a threat is the way countries use the AEC or implement the AEC, and then that can kind of form a threat where you can have certain countries benefiting more from the AEC than other countries because either they are not fast enough to capitalize on the new rules, new procedures that is implemented because of the AEC, or they are exploiting it because there are loopholes and governments are taking advantage of that because there isn't the common consensus that they want it to benefit everyone. And it goes back to my point that ASEAN is so varied and has so many different political priorities and strategic interests. Unless those things are aligned, there can always be someone manipulating these kind of things at the back end. I mean, we don't see it from history yet, but competition has always proved good for the region from history, yeah.
Okay. Within the Ministry of Transport, are you looking at potential threats that also could affect the local businesses?
Thank you. Basically, I've been involved in the ASEAN since 1997. So I was one of the pioneer and still surviving. The rest are already expired. So from the day one, when I started, I've engaged with the transport operators. So I've told them, the big wave is coming, get ready. This is what the advice from the Ministry of from the day one. We signed the ASEAN agreement in 1998. So whether it's a threat, you know, foreign operators doing business, we will leave it to the industries to decide because this is not something new. I totally disagreed with that because the engagement has been done with the industries. We have been informed of these new initiatives under the ASEAN because we can't stop when globalization comes in. We cannot stop people doing business outside of their countries. So we need to open up. We cannot use closed door and doing it, let's do within Malaysia. Let the operators just, okay, you do within Malaysia, no cross border, we cannot stop that. So that's why we have advised the industries to be more competitive. So for me, if you ask me the question whether it's a threat, I will say no. It's an opportunity for
okay.
us. Thank
okay.
you.
However, Nazari, you completely disagree with that, right?
It's not that I do not agree with EEC. Of course, there are a lot of other benefit, but in order for us to be prepared to face this EAC, the government should look into the current transport industry first. How the government can help us to be more this month when we face the challenge. If you do not help us now, when this come in, I'm running one of the biggest haulage company in Malaysia, and I'm suffering to survive. What about the smaller one? What about those 80%, the small and medium company? So if government is not doing something to help us now, how are we going to compete? I'm not saying that we cannot, we have to stop this. No, I'm not saying that. But what we want, from now until the day this EEC go through, government has to start to look into our industry, how to support us so that we are ready to face this new competition. That is the issue. Mm. I think you got my point?
Yep. Yeah, sure. Huh?
So the issue is government has to do something to help us to expand the existing business.
Mm-hmm.
Those 80%, we hope by the time EAC come into force, we can make it the figure to 50%. Reduce it. This is the issue. You have to let the small company grow first so that we are in a better position to face this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to issue license, when can we expand? As I mentioned earlier, 1% of the industry have more than 200 trucks. The rest, only 20, if not mistaken, the figure is 24% having more than 30 trucks in the industry. So you see how weak are we?
So those 24% are the ones that are exposed?
That have been more than 30 trucks.
Mm.
So give us time to expand. We have more this one capital in our work before we face this challenge.
Mm. Mm. But then again, Mats would also have a tougher time because competition increases, isn't it? Eventually, I should be able to buy a truck in another country and move throughout the ASEAN. So you would have to come up with a more competitive service package, isn't it?
Yeah. So I believe I'm from Sweden, small country, 10 million people soon. Used to be 8 million when I was younger. And still, I think we have quite strong companies. There's another truck brand in the show. We have our Volvos, we have our Ericssons, we have our Electrolux, IKEA, H&M, ABB, and so on. And I think it's because we're an open economy, and it's a lot about competition. I think, of course, it's a threat for some, but I think the strong players survive and can flourish. I think competition has helped us to grow. Initially, we were wondering, when it comes to Chinese competitors, what will be the impact of them in Asia or in other countries. And so far, I think it has proven, the value of growing, climbing the value chain maybe, and providing a better service is always appreciated by the customers. Then I fully agree that the playing field has to be fair. And that's when it comes to the transportation industry in Europe. There is some regulation in terms of the vehicle taxes, in terms of the times that the drivers are allowed to drive, etc. So it has to be a fair and level playing field. But once that is in place, then I firmly believe in competition. And again, if there weren't the other Swedish brand here, I don't think that the Volvo brand would be as strong either, because we're pushing each other to become better. If I can just talk a little bit more on this, I used to work with Iran, extremely protected economy. And when you go in there, they can sell their truck, the cars that they produce there. Locally, they have something called Paycan. It's a Hillman from the UK. Well, they stopped producing it in the UK in 1963. Because it's a protected economy, they can still sell those cars. Now I think they moved to maybe something else, but that was when I was in Iran, late 90s. But you can never succeed elsewhere. And as soon as somebody gets access to your market, you will die if you're not exposed to competition. So I believe in competition, but I believe that the government should help with the right training and making sure that there's a level playing field.
Yeah. From an engineering point of view, is there a threat that things get more complicated?
Put it this way. Now, first of all, I would like to add something onto the flux of so many of the transporters. Remember in the year 2000, before the opening up of the haulier business, I remember when at that time the Big Five, when they were operating the haulier, it takes more than a week to get the container to get out of the port and send to the end user. And then the government were very, very worried because we cannot compete with neighboring countries like Singapore. Right? Their services are so good. So they start to open up. From the Big Five, they start to open up. I think at that time the policy, the government policy was to flood the whole the transporting, the whole industry with a lot of operators. So that hopefully the delivery is very fast. Okay? And I think it's high time. There are so many already, 300 over it. I think high time for the government to stop. I think the government is still flooding it. But the initial objective was very good, to ease the, this container being built up in the, this port clan. I remember pretty well. Okay? Now, another thing is about the costs of this the truck. Don't forget, in Malaysia, we are very unique. We have rebuilt trucks. The rebuilt truck, actually, they really flood the market. I think many of the hauler companies, they use rebuilt truck, which the price of it is very, very cheap. Okay, I think in places like Thailand or Singapore, no such thing like rebuilt truck. Yeah. We call it rebuilt, is it? So, and it is well protected by the government. So, in the midst of this so-called crisis, I mean, we still have the opportunity to grow.
But that is then an industry under threat. Because if you had a homologue market throughout 10 countries, one would look at saying, can we allow recon? Can we allow rebuilt trucks to move freely? I think there is an industry that at the moment is legal, but is under threat of being discontinued.
But at the current moment, I think there is a rebuilt truck. I think they are getting business as usual.
At the moment, eventually.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's your take on that?
Thank you, thank you, Dato. I think, we do allow rebuilt trucks. But initially, when I think this the thing doesn't come under MOT. MOT is basically on licensing of transport. Mm, mm. The policy to allow rebuild, I think, it comes under the MITI. To encourage small companies to come up to develop their capacities. Okay, but I think the policy was very clear at the point of time. You know, the rebuild is 20% for local market and 80% for export. But I'm not clear when this Dato, you were mentioning that the rebuild has been flooding in our country. That means more people are buying locally. It's supposed to be only 20%. I think it's 80% is supposed to be export. And I think basically we have to come. I understand the weaknesses is probably is the enforcement. They probably we didn't properly monitor the actually we didn't control probably that the 80% now it's the other way around. 20% export, 80% comes into the market.
Can I get clear?
Yes, please.
Actually, in the year 2006, so. The proportion of 2080 being abolished by MITI. So the rebuilders, they are at liberty to sell as many trucks as possible in the local market because they have already abolished that 2080. So it is a free market and this rebuilt truck is selling very freely and then we're hot kick.
Okay. We spoke about businesses. I'd like to see if we can have some insights on how a bigger market might be an impact on people's lives. Is there something like people being left behind because they can't cope with new environments, with new challenges? Is that, if I'm a German living in German society and everything stays the same, then I don't have much to fear. But if I'm opening up now, is that a threat to my personal life, to my profession?
Well, with the ASEAN experience right now, we are seeing it all goes back to the government, the policies and how prepared you are for this. Mm-hmm. Right now, the large migration in the Mekong region, like between Laos and Thailand especially, has seen a lot of workers being trafficked, a lot of workers being abused. Human rights records in these countries are low. Mm-hmm. And this is because there isn't enough regulations within these kind of sectors like employment to protect people who are moving from country to country. Mutual recognition agreements are also not comprehensive enough to protect people. If you're talking about within countries, again, it comes back to, are your citizens prepared for the new phase of growth? And if you look at Singapore, they've always taken quite a forward-looking policy strategy, where they've always been retraining people for the next industry, for the next industry, next industry. Obviously, it's a small country, it's easy to do. But if you're looking at bigger countries, this can be difficult. So, again, the AEC presents an opportunity for the countries to move up a development level. It becomes a threat when the countries can't because of their own internal struggles, their own internal policy struggles. So there's definitely going to be a lot of people who are going to feel disenfranchised because of increased competition, losing jobs because companies have to shut down or put out of business. There is going to be a lot of changes, but there will be a lot of people who will also benefit in terms of the movement of people across borders, new economic opportunities across borders, and things like that.
So coming back to the question about bus drivers, is there a threat that more people decide to live abroad, move out of Malaysia, making his situation even worse?
No, I mean, it depends on what kind of industry Malaysia want to hold on to its trucking industry, or does it want to move up the value chain and do more maybe management of trucking companies? Then it would be attracting talent into its country that would be doing these supervisory roles instead of the driving roles, right? So you would no longer need Malaysians driving trucks. You need Malaysians who are doing the management of maybe trucking companies in other ASEAN countries. I mean, that's a very idealistic thing, but from an economic theory perspective, that's what the whole intention was.